invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. A public service announcement brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
And Kathy Dawes again with Brian McNulty, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Operations Manager, Tuttle Creek Lake, and then Melissa Bean is the Park Manager also with the Corps. And welcome both of you. And talking a bit about, of course, Country Stampede, but let's, before we move away from construction completely, I imagine you get plenty of questions about that, Brian. What's it going to do to Country Stampede this year?
Well, the traffic impacts up on top of the dam, those don't have near as many impacts on Stampede, so there will be some this summer because the bridge project being underway and it taking 6 to 12 months to complete, starting in April, May, it'll be closed during Stampede. The Stilling Basin project will be the one that really impacts Stampede. That won't affect it this season, 2017, but in 2018, in all likelihood, that west entrance will be closed and there won't be any way to get into the event area from the west. So we haven't got a contractor hired, obviously, since it hasn't been advertised, and so the contractor will establish a construction timeline, so we really don't know when those excavations will occur yet, because that'll be somewhat dependent on the timeline the contractor established when he says how he's going to build the project.
Well, thanks for clarifying. So for this year, you're basically okay.
Yes.
But next year might be a little problematic.
Yes. Yeah, this year they won't be able to turn right when they come out of the east entrance exit, but to go across the bridge, mm-hmm. but they can still turn west.
Okay.
So the traffic that would be going up into western Pottawatomie County, Marshall County, Nemaha County, and up into that area, you'd have to go left and then turn right on Tuttle Creek Boulevard and take the detour up through Randolph and Olsburg and then hook up again. Well, it won't be K-13 at that point. It's 16 because 13 ends there just east of Olsburg where the two meet. I will mention, too, that detour-wise, there will likely be this winter an overlap of both of those projects. So there'll be a detour for K-13 for the bridge project, and then once the Stilling Basin goes under construction, there'll be a detour to get the state park traffic across the top of the dam and into the state park. So there'll be two concurrent detours going on at the same time, which may cause some confusion. But both of those projects are supposed to have detour plans approved by the contractor, depending on how they're facilitating the work. So we're planning on addressing that.
A little bit of a headache, Brian?
Yes.
He's a popular guy.
Okay. Moving along, and of course, people always curious about the lake level and winter drawdown and all those fun numbers. And I guess, Melissa, are you going to share that with us?
Sure. So the lake is sitting right around 1072 and a half feet. Our target pool in the wintertime is 1072. A lot of people have been making phone calls and comments that the lake seems really low, but this is actually something we've been doing for several years now. We'll maintain this lower pool until mid-March, and then it'll slowly increase and come up around mid-April usually.
And then, of course, there's a reason for that. Explain why you let it get so low.
So we keep the lake low in the wintertime because it ice damage build up along the riprap along the dam, and then also we get a lot of rain. Tuttle Creek, we always say, is the workhorse for the district in managing outflows for the Missouri River. So we're storing up for spring, and then big impact, too, on fish habitat and spawn.
Okay. Well, of course, I know there's just some reminders. It's hard to believe spring is honestly almost here, although it's been a fairly mild winter, quite frankly. Have you had quite a bit of activity even during the winter months, just out of curiosity?
Oh, yeah. On those warm days, people are out. The parks don't close in the wintertime, so we still see folks out enjoying picnics and fishing and all those day use activities.
Well, tell us more about spring. What can we anticipate with hours, with the park being open, that kind of thing?
Sure. So, like I said, the parks aren't closed, so you can still come out. The campgrounds are open. There's just no utilities or anything until April 15th. And then once the utilities kick on the 15th, then we'll start charging the fees as well. And since I'm talking about fees, our fees are going up a little bit this year. Our camping fees have increased by $2, so that'll be $20 for an electric site, $14 for non-electric. Our shelters have increased by $5, so they've gone up to $30 a day.
And, of course, reservation, I mean, suggestions that way, too.
Yeah, you can make reservations 6 months in advance. So if you're wanting to camp this summer, the season is open to make that reservation at recreation.gov.
Are there certain time frames when it really does fill up a lot that if they're thinking about it, they maybe need to be doing fairly soon?
Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, those are all real popular weekends. But we still have campsites available right now if you want to jump on.
K-State football weekends on occasion, I would guess, too.
Yes, yeah, those are popular, too.
Do we need to remind people, too, about discounts and military and those kind of things, too, how that works?
Sure, so we do have discount cards available. That's under the America the Beautiful Passport Program. Senior passes are $10, and they're good for life. And then if you have a state-recognized disability, you can get what we call an access pass, and those are free. And then if you're just, wanting to get a discount and you use the parks a lot, you might look at an annual pass, which is $80. And the discounts that you get with some of those is 50% off of camping at the Corps-managed campgrounds, so that'd be Tuttle Cove and Stockdale here at Tuttle. You also get free boat launching at the Corps ramps. And if you do a lot of traveling out west or around the country, you can get free entrance fees at the national parks. And sometimes those entrance fees are like $40, so they pay for themselves pretty quick once you get that pass.
You had mentioned senior passes. What's the age on that? I know that can vary sometimes.
62 or older.
Oh, 62 or older. I'm not too far from that.
Yep. And there's one more. There's also a military pass, and that's free for military and their dependents. You do have to be active military. It's not for retirees.
Now, Melissa, when you were mentioning the core areas, the core camping areas, sometimes I think people get confused between what's yours, what's the fish and game, the wildlife and parks. I mean, is there an easy way for them to find that out? Is there like a map somewhere or a way they can determine that?
Yeah, I mean, if you go onto either of the websites, both us and the state parks, any of our brochures, they all have it identified. But typically the River Pond is state park. That's the most popular one. Cedar Ridge, or they used to call it Spillway, that's a state park. We take care of Tuttle Cove and Stockdale, and those both are on the west side of the lake.
Although I know that you have a good relationship with Todd Levin on that end of things, too. So
correct.
You work together pretty well on different things. Upcoming activities. And, boy, you can tell it is spring. All of a sudden, there's all these different things coming up. You want to share with us, Melissa, some of those events that are coming up?
Sure. So the first one we got going on is this Saturday. We are doing our spring cleanup work day up at the off-road vehicle area. And that park's a little unique. It's the only full-size truck off-road park in about a 250-mile radius. It's the only public park that's free of charge as well. And so we get a big regional draw, probably a four-state draw of people coming to that park. So if you'd like to come out and support that park, you can check out the Flint Hills Jeep Club Facebook page. They've got information on their work day, and they do a couple other events throughout the year. And then also just installed this last weekend is a new disc golf course in the outlet park. Disc golf has been real popular. You've seen them spring up around the parks here in the city. Our park's a little unique. It's a youth course, so if you've got little ones that can't make those long throws and those long distances, you might try it out on this park. You can also, if you're an adult, you can try out your short game or your technical skills. So big thanks to the Little Apple Disc Golf Club for helping us install that, and some donations from the Tuttle Creek State Park.
And then I guess, of course, a little bit later, there's some other things, April and...
April 22nd, I'll just do a plug for the OK Kids Day at the range. That's a youth shooting event up at the Fancy Creek Range. And then there's some boater education courses. I don't have the dates on those, but you can check them out at the Wildlife and Parks website. And I always encourage folks to take a boater's ed course. Most of the accidents that happen out there are because people don't have any kind of formal boater's ed.
I just out of curiosity, of course, I know you represent more of a federal agency, but the rules for driving a boat, I know it varies from, say, the state of Missouri and that kind of thing. They're pretty strict in Missouri, I know from experience. But kind of remind us what the rules and regulations are when it comes to some of that.
I guess I could speak to maybe some of the more common violations. Mm-hmm. No wake zones. You know, we do have one small no wake zone around the Tuttle Cove boat launch area. And then there's the 100-foot rule. So if you're within 100 feet of another boat, shoreline, marina docks, it's no wake.
Swimmers,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Life jackets in Kansas, you don't actually have to have them on if you're over the age of 12, but you do have to have them with arm's reach. That's a little bit different than some other states. So in other words, if you're in the boat, you can't have them stowed underneath or in a compartment somewhere. You've got to have them readily accessible and to put on.
Out of curiosity, though, Brian, I mean, operators of boats and Sea-Doos and that kind of thing, any regulations that way in Kansas? I know Missouri, you have to take a test, actually, at a certain point.
Yeah, I think there's age limits. I don't know what those are off the top of my head. I think it's 14, but it's state law, so we don't necessarily enforce it. But mm-hmm. They have to have education requirement on that. And then to operate a boat, NASBLA, National Association of
Sorry
State Boating
and
Law
spot.
Administrators,
yeah. mm-hmm.
has an online course or an in-person course. In fact, the in-person course was last Saturday.
mm-hmm.
And you have to either do the online course or go through that classroom session to get that certificate. Us as federal employees also have to go through that, and we have to get that in order to get our federal boat operator license. So we take the state course as well.
And it probably wouldn't hurt for everybody to do that, I'm guessing, too.
Yeah, water, to operate a boat, you have to.
Yes, you do. Okay. Water safety, weather warming up, some
right.
reminders, Melissa.
It's going to be 70-some degrees today, but that water's still very, very cold. And sudden cold water immersion and shock kills people more than hypothermia, which is kind of a surprise.
Andrew, you have something else for us?
Yeah, we just had a caller who's interested to know more about the trout stock and when more trout may be released.
Kansas Wildlife and Parks and Tourism take care of the trout stocking, and I believe they just posted those dates to their website. They also have a link off of the Tuttle Creek State Park Facebook page.
It is confusing sometimes the different roles that you play because people don't always realize, of course. Good, thanks for clarifying. Still have to worry a bit about cold water, I would guess, at the lake.
Yep. So, like I mentioned, sudden cold water immersion, if you want to improve your chances of survival there, life jackets, even if you're not on a boat, if you're just near the shore and have the, are in increased opportunity to fall in the lake, having a life jacket saves lives.
Very timely. Fire safety. I mean, the winds have been horrible the last couple, 3 days. Just some suggestions that way, Melissa.
Sure. So I saw an interesting statistic out in the news last week, and a recent study by University of Colorado showed that 84% of wildfires are caused by humans. So just a few simple things that you can do to decrease the frequency of wildfires. Only use permitted existing grills. Here at Tuttle Creek, we don't allow any ground fires, so it's got to be in a grill or a fire ring. No rock fire rings along the shoreline, that sort of thing. Make sure that you don't leave your fire unattended. You'd be surprised how many times we drive through campgrounds and we see, full flames and smoke coming from the fire rings. So when you're on a windy day like this, it's very easy to pick up an ember and cause a grass fire. And then along that same line of thought, fully extinguish your fire. Make sure that it's cold to touch. So if you can't touch it, you probably need to pour some water on it.
Seems like I remember one sometime this winter. It's been a dry winter. Have you had issues this winter, Brian, or am I...
We're anticipating having issues this spring because Eric Ward had noted that the fuel load's pretty high, and with the low precipitation we had, we've got a good recipe for some pretty intense fire activity this spring if we don't get some precipitation here soon.
I do remember some times there when you were actively fighting some pretty rough fires. So, and Andrew, go ahead. Oh, yes, okay, very good. I'm being told we have a minute left. So if there are things that you would like to kind of condense or highlight right now, would be a good time to do that. Brian?
No, the fire issue there is big. It's pretty common to get calls about someone going down into the area. We call it Crappie Cove. It's about halfway between K-13 and Tuttle Creek Cove. They go down there, and that's a pretty good cove to fish for crappie in the spring, and they'll start a campfire on the shoreline and sit there and fish, and that's illegal. You can't start a fire on the shoreline anywhere along the lake. The only place you can do that is in one of the campgrounds in one of the designated campfire rings. And not only are you violating core rules, but you'd be violating the open burnings law that the county administers. You have to have a burn permit to have that campfire down on the shoreline.
Thanks to both of you for stopping by today. Again, we've had Brian McNulty, Operations Manager, Tuttle Creek Lake with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Also with the Corps, Melissa Bean, Park Manager. You've been listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care of residential.